Federal authorities have been searching today for a U.S. citizen charged with plotting violent jihad as part of a North Carolina group suspected of international... See, this is somehow your fault.
I'm sure it is.
International terrorist aspirations. Turns out authorities have been following these seven men for years. One suspect still at large. And joining us now, Federal News Radio national security correspondent J.J. Green with more. An eighth suspect now that authorities haven't been able to account for. Why is he so important, J.J.?
The authorities will generally tell you they are most afraid about most afraid of what they don't know. And this eighth suspect is someplace that they don't know where he is. He went on June 10th to Pakistan. And after that point, he dropped off the grid. Authorities have been very concerned about what he may be doing, who he may be with, and when, if anything, will happen. So that's the reason why suspect number eight is important. We do know that he was working along with Daniel Patrick Boyd, his sons Zacharias and Dylan, and the other suspects that were arrested. But who knows whether or not he's the trigger man or the facilitator or the person through whom Zero Hour runs. So that's the reason why the eighth suspect is of such great interest now.
We're also learning that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, that's had so much controversy over the last several years, was used to track this group. What do we know so far about how that worked?
What I've been hearing, and this is, it falls right in line with the use for FISA, email and telephonic communications. Mm-hmm. Those are the general terms under which FISA is designed to be used. And when you consider looking at the indictment, the contacts and the communications that people in this organization supposedly had with people in the Middle East and in South Asia, there would definitely be the need to use either of those means to communicate. And I know that authorities in the Eastern District of North Carolina filed yesterday a notice that they had used FISA to surveil them electronically, and it also facilitates personal searches. So those are the reasons for which they got that FISA order.
Now, you mentioned Daniel Patrick Boyd, the ringleader, or at least he's the suspected ringleader of this group. Tell us about him and his history.
Interesting character. He was one of a handful of Americans that went to Afghanistan in the 1980s to fight against the Soviets. Something like less than a dozen, I believe, Americans who were there fighting on behalf of the Afghan people against the aggression of the Soviet Union. So he got on the grid. He, at that point, was noticed by the American government. And once you're noticed, you're always noticed in that capacity. Him later being arrested in Pakistan for a bank robbery, excuse me, that he supposedly committed along with his brother under the auspices of a quote-unquote militant organization that they were supposedly members of. Also, more biometrics to keep them on the U.S. grid. So when they were let go, or he was let go and came back to the States, he probably never left the view of intelligence, or at least in some capacity, U.S. security. They probably have been watching him for many years. So this is the most interesting part about him, is that I talked to a former State Department counterterrorism officer this morning who says, I remember him.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. This connects some dots in my brain, because one of the arguments against FISA has always been privacy advocates were concerned that somehow the government would just be randomly monitoring and listening in on conversations. What you're telling me about this person's history and the fact that he was always on the radar screen kind of belies that. It's the opposite of that, that this is just another tool that they've been using to be aware of what this person has been doing, and were able to finally find some information that was actionable, required action, apparently.
When FISA was designed in 1978, the essence of the law was to be able to collect intelligence utilizing a certain configuration of U.S. telephone availabilities. That, at that point in time, was a time frame when the large majority of U.S. telephone calls traveled over landlines. The bulk of international phone calls traveled via microwave. 30 years later, last year, the bulk of international telephone calls travel at some point through U.S. landlines. 90% of U.S. telephone calls now are cell phones. So that's the reason why the law had to be flipped in the eyes of the intelligence community. And that's most likely what took place in this particular situation. Cell phone calls from the U.S. to the South Asia or to the Middle East meant they needed to be able to monitor those phone calls. And that's what FISA would allow you to do. In addition, it also allows monitoring of feeds that come from the internet.
Mm-hmm. I can understand why that is so disconcerting for the bad guys, because there isn't really a way for them to communicate outside the United States in a way that they can't be monitored.
Well, there is a way. There are ways, and we won't share it here, but there is a way.
Difficult, though, I would imagine.
Well, if you've ever seen the movie Traitor, you've seen it.
Yeah.
And they do it in the movie. But that's, there is a way, and it's pretty well known. But this doesn't help them.
Mm-hmm.
This tool being there certainly doesn't help them. In this case, one of the officers, or one of the sources, rather, that I spoke to said to me, this particular individual and his group didn't help themselves by being so far out there and so communicating so frequently and regularly to the people that they were trying to connect up with overseas.
And they've been on the radar since 2006. This has taken a while to, well, resolve is probably a strong word, but to get to this point.
Yeah, and one of the things that authorities like to do is to let the scenarios play out. They like to see where the mission is going or the operation is going. They like to see who joins and see what the connections are. Sometimes it takes a very long time, excuse me again, for those things to play out. This particular situation was one in which they're not sure yet if all of the legs of this table have revealed themselves yet. But I'm imagining at this point, they don't usually move or roll up an operation until they feel, until they feel as though it's something is imminent, or if one of the members of the group has dropped out and they're concerned that they may be about to set off something. That's generally why they get rolled up. So
because they can catch more people that way.
Yeah, who's to say that if this eighth suspect didn't disappear, that they wouldn't continue surveilling them for an even longer period of time?
Back to your comment quickly about the fact that this person was very active and engaged in a lot of communication. The spy novel reader in me thinks that maybe he wanted to get caught somehow, wanted to call attention to himself, maybe to avoid attention to somebody else, or am I being too cynical and skeptical?
I think you have a future as a writer. No, I wouldn't say cynical or skeptical. It's one of those things that, indeed, one of the sources that I spoke to this morning said this could very well be one of a distraction technique, a diversionary tactic. And it's also one of those situations, too, that makes you think, okay, if we're focusing so much on this particular individual that's missing and we think he's in Pakistan, then are we looking here? Because there's nothing to say, according to some of the folks that I spoke with this morning, to say that even though we think that they may be up to mayhem overseas, that they may not have a plan. They may have a plan for something here. So you can't discount that.
My next question was whether people need to be alarmed, worried, concerned, because they can't find number eight.
No, I don't. Never. I would never say worried. Alarmed, yeah.
Just aware.
But, yeah, that's a normal thing for us. Alarmed, yes.
That's a normal thing.
Well, I mean, since 9/11, alarmed is something that we are. You know, there are varying degrees of alarm, though. But to be worried, there is a very good system in place here. The fact that these seven are in custody and a plan that they've been hatching since before 2005, 2006 was revealed is good reason to be confident that the government is on top of this. I think probably as the days go on, we'll learn a lot more detailed information about just what didn't happen as opposed to what did.